Today comes from the prophet Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around the bones, and behold, they were very many on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "Lord God, you know." And he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, a rattling. The bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on the bones, and flesh had come upon them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great host. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off. So prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord your God, behold, I will open your graves and I will raise you up from those graves, O my people. I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves, when I place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I put my spirit within you, and you shall live. I have spoken, I will do it. Thus declares the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I was told recently that the congregation likes it when there's more dad jokes. Today's scripture, today's story, today's sermon is a ghost story, a Holy Ghost story. There it is. You're welcome. But this has always been one of my favorite scripture readings. It's so evocative. It's powerful. The imagery is incredible, and it really is kind of spooky, right? Ezekiel finds himself in this valley, just absolutely covered in human bones. In fact, Paul, if we can get the slideshow started here. I wanted to do one of these images as the bulletin cover, and then I was like, you know, we might give some of the kids nightmares. I don't know. Hopefully it won't be as big a deal if it's up on the wall. We're just going to click through to there. There's that one. That's by an artist whose name I suddenly forget. I had it printed out, and I lost it. Today's busy. I apologize. But it's from the 1800s. It's not exactly Renaissance or classic art, but it's still pretty cool and pretty evocative. And you see the bones, the desiccated host of Israel crying out to God, saying they're cut off. This one is a little bit more of an action shot as the Holy Spirit and the sun representing creation and the flames of the Holy Spirit kind of evoking Pentecost come upon the host of bones. and restore life to them. I don't know. I showed it to a few parents, and they're like, eh, you're probably okay. But anyway, that's why it's not on every paper copy. We're talking about the Holy Spirit today. We're part of a sermon series here where we're covering both the Nicene Creed and the seven essentials of the EPC. That is the kind of the foundational stuff. These are the non-negotiables. This is what, when we talk about joining the First Presbyterian Church as a member or even just being a Christian, this is kind of the fundamental stuff that we believe, and we're talking a little bit more about why we believe it. So if you haven't already, if you know what a QR code is, you just got to pull your camera up on your phone. It'll take you to this link. There's the seven essentials. I'll give you a couple more seconds, and we'll go to the Nicene Creed. I don't see any phones up anymore, so I'm going to go ahead. There's the Nicene Creed. We don't have time to dig into the history again. Some of you are breathing a sigh of relief. Some of you are sweating as much as I'm sweating. And if you're really, really hot and sweaty, I would invite you to join us in the river. And we can all get really cold in the Chena River and pray over our baptismal candidates here if you're just feeling sweltering hot today. Also, if you check the forecast, you might want to give thanks for the sweltering heat. We don't know how much more sweltering heat we have. It is Fairbanks. You do live in Alaska. Coming back to the focus. We're talking about the Holy Spirit today, the third person of the Trinity. This is much more ancient art than the glimpses of Ezekiel we had today. This is representing the visitation of God to Abram and Sarah. And once again, the earliest glimpse, perhaps, if you don't count Genesis 1 and 2, where God refers to God's self as us and we. This is the first glimpse of God as Trinity we have in Scripture. Three visitors to Abraham and Sarah. And one thing, I don't know if we talked about this before, but both the Son and the Holy Spirit are looking at the Father, which is kind of a cool ancient visual storytelling component to some of those icons, some of those ancient icons. There's more in the details than you might initially think. This is what the seven essentials have to say about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to glorify Christ and to apply the saving work of Christ to our hearts. The Spirit gives new life to us, empowers and imparts gifts to us for service. The Holy Spirit instructs and guides us into all truth and seals us for the day of redemption. It's kind of a perfect time to be talking about the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit as we're also talking about baptism. Baptism is a sign and a seal, as is communion, of God's love, God's promises made real for us as we take on the sacrament of baptism, as we receive the water and the words of God, the promise, the sacred covenant promise of God. We are not only taking part in a symbolic act, right? The water represents so much more than just H2O. It is the cleansing, forgiving power of God through Jesus Christ. But it is also a seal. It is a mark, a royal mark of the King that is upon us and our spirit forever. We are marked by Christ, His death, His life, His resurrection. We take that mark upon ourselves when we are baptized. Ansel, Lucy, and Holly will be taking that seal, that sign, that mark that will stay with them for eternity. The Holy Spirit is the one who does this. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides us through Scripture. So, moving on to the Nicene Creed. I know we just did the Apostles' Creed, and now we're doing the Nicene Creed. I don't mean to confuse you. The Apostles' Creed was kind of like the foundational, right? First century early church, the apostles, right? The Nicene Creed builds on it a little bit, but definitely uses the Apostles' Creed as kind of that, well, skeleton. Anybody? There we go. Thank you. To build on. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. Now that last line is important for us in our word today, because clearly that is exactly what's happening with Ezekiel. The Spirit of the Lord is both carrying Ezekiel to this place, whether it's like a literal place, like there's some time travel, some dimension hopping that Ezekiel is doing with the Holy Spirit, or this is simply an ecstatic vision that the prophet is having by the power of the Spirit. You know, we could talk metaphysics all day. What's important is that Ezekiel finds himself in this place by the Spirit of the Lord. By the Spirit of the Lord, he hears the word of God, and after he has this encounter with God and these dry bones, by the Spirit of the Lord, he then records all of it. And by the Spirit of the Lord, we, 2,500 years later, receive it. He has spoken through the prophets. So it is the Holy Spirit who both brings the prophets to a place of greater understanding, a place of understanding that perhaps at the time at least no other man or woman had encountered. A special revelation from God for us, for both the original audience and anyone else who is blessed by the Holy Spirit to receive it today. And so Ezekiel shares this word. This word with his original audience, and this word that by the Spirit we hear today and we can connect with. He finds himself in this spooky valley, this valley of death and destruction. He's careful not to step on the bones. By the way, fun fact about bones, do you guys know that bones are what make your blood? Anybody knew that? There's some biology majors in here. Do you know why it's your bones that make the blood, one of the reasons that is? Bones are the least susceptible, the most insulated from radiation, right? From the sun or any other kind of radiation, right? If your skin or something just under your skin made your blood, produced your blood cells, they'd be susceptible to radiation. But because they start in the bones, kind of in the core of your flesh, it's protected. So that adds another layer of meaning when it says our bones are dried up, right? It's not, there's an implication of time, there's an implication of just how hopeless we feel, and there's also an implication of we've stopped doing the very basic things of life. Ezekiel is both speaking on behalf of the people as he shares this vision, he's also speaking on behalf of God who's saying, I see you, I see your hopelessness. I see the way that you have been cut off, and I am bringing new life to you. And that new life comes by the word of the prophet, right? By the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we're in a place where we can feel like God's putting us back together again, right? The rattling happens, the bones come on, the sinews start to cover us, we start to feel a little bit more like ourselves again, maybe even the skin has covered us, and yet, where is the breath? Where is the breath? Fun fact, in both Greek and Hebrew, the word for breath is the same word for wind, is the same word for spirit. And I mean spirit in like both the spiritual sense and in the breath wind sense, right? Those three words are all meant the same thing, all came together. In Hebrew, it's ruach. Everybody say it with me. Ruach. There you go. In the Greek, it's pneuma, and pneuma with a P, right? It's another silent P. The Greeks love their silent Ps. Pneuma. Pneuma, you got it. But yeah, it's clear then that the ancient world had this understanding that life is breath. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit, my favorite title for the Holy Spirit is the Lord, the giver of life. Because the Holy Spirit is co-eternal with God, has always been a part, right? Has been one of the person of the Trinity and was there at creation. Was there at creation when the first animals had life breathed into them. Just as it is with the Son, there was not a single thing that was created that the Holy Spirit did not have a part in and did not indeed breathe wind, breath, spirit into. And so we as created beings need the Holy Spirit for any kind of life, for daily life, for biological, molecular life. The Holy Spirit is the source of that life, the giver of that life. But in the spiritual sense, we need the Holy Spirit too. If we go too long without coming together as the body of Christ, if we go too long without hearing God's word, studying God's word for ourselves, if we go too long without praying and recognizing our need for God, the only comfort we have in life and death, we start to dry up. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Lord, the giver of life, to come, to breathe new life into us, to restore us, not simply on a molecular level, though certainly that is appreciated as our blood cells are rejuvenated once more, but we need that spiritual encouragement. We need a hope. And Ezekiel speaks to that. Ultimately, it is the hope that breathes new life into this great host that is indeed all of God's people. For all of God's people need to be reminded, encouraged, restored, and rejuvenated by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. And friends, the only way we can do that is by continually going before God and saying, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are cut off. God knows us, God hears us, and God sends His Spirit anew that we might receive it. Amen? Amen. Okay. Where's Kathleen? Are we doing anything else musically? Okay. Stand and receive the blessing. Just a reminder, we're going to Grail Park. We're almost on time. Grail Park, Old Steese, turn right before Taco King takes you into that neighborhood. It's right there by Pro Music. You've got smartphones. You can figure it out. If you have questions, let me know. Church, what is your vision? To see the world transformed to love, worship, and serve Christ. Go now and pursue that vision. And wherever you are going, know that the Lord Jesus is sending you. May He guide you through the wilderness. May He protect you through the storm. May Christ bring you home rejoicing at the wonders He's shown you. May Christ bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Go to Grail Landing in peace.